Good morning. It's good to see you here on this fall Sunday as we gather for worship. A special welcome to those who are visiting with us. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to extend a special welcome to Dr. Lorraine Luft, who is our guest organist today. Marilyn is on vacation for the next two Sundays, including in addition to today. So we'll be having Dr. Luft with us the following for the three Sundays. So we're very thankful that she's able to be with us today and to lead us in our music today. On the back page of the bulletin is the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to be reading all the activities, but I do encourage you to look at that. There are several meetings this coming week. I do want to point out that the theme for our Tuesday evening study group is prayer, and that theme changes every week. It's based on something in current events. So if you're interested in coming, we meet from 7 to 8:45-ish. Try to definitely be out by 9 at the very latest on Tuesday evenings in the church parlor. Also want to point out that it is our week for feeding ministry, so we will be providing Bread of Life's meal this coming Friday. We will need cakes baked for that. And also I want to point out that next Saturday we have a work day here from 9 to 12. We are doing both projects inside and out, trying to get ready for winter. And next Sunday is a very special Sunday as we will be having a combined international worship service. Folks from Casa de Fe y Alabanza, the Hispanic congregation that meets in our parish house next door, and Global Ark Baptist Church, which is a Korean Baptist church that meets in our sanctuary Sunday afternoons, will be worshiping with us. All three of us will be worshiping together next Sunday at 11. Most of the service will be in English. There will be parts of it in Spanish and Korean as well as English. We'll also be having lunch afterwards in Judson Chapel, and you are invited to stay for that as well. So I hope you will come next Sunday and experience worship together with our sister churches. There is a sign-up sheet for bulbs for the Refugee Immigration Ministries. They're selling fall bulbs. The deadline for purchasing those will be next Sunday. However, that order form probably will not be out next Sunday because of the other activities going on. So really, if you want to order bulbs, today would be the best day to do it. They will be delivered the last Sunday in October. Also, there is a sign-up sheet on that same table in Judson Chapel during coffee hour that we're looking for volunteers to help us with setting up and serving and cleaning up for the meal next Sunday that we are sharing with our sister churches. So if you're willing to sign up and be part of that process, we invite you to do that as well after the service. We are receiving the World Mission Offering today and during this month. We'll be watching two short video clips about the offering today and two more the last Sunday of the month. There is also an insert in the bulletin that talks more about the World Mission Offering. It's American Baptist Ministries' worldwide efforts to serve Jesus Christ and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Also on the back page of the hymn insert today is an announcement that there is a walk this afternoon, domestic violence awareness walk this afternoon, beginning at 3:30 at the Salemwood School. They'll be walking on the bike path and coming up to City Hall, and there will be silent witnesses there for domestic violence. And if you're available to come, if not able to walk, if you're available to come along the path and support the walkers, or to gather at City Hall, I believe, at 5:30, and to stand in solidarity against domestic violence. You're invited to do that this afternoon. There's more information there. And finally, Dottie Fox has asked that I wanted to let you know that she and Mark will be at the Autism Speaks fundraiser next weekend. And if there's some folks in the congregation that would like to support that, and their grandson Jake, you may see Dottie after the service today. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 338 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from both the Old and New Testament, and let us prepare our hearts and our minds for worship as we read responsively from God's holy word. Come now, Let us reason together, says the Lord.
For your sins are like scarlet.
Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin.
If anybody does sin, we have one Father in heaven, Christ, the righteous one.
Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression? If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
We come this morning seeking God's forgiveness, but also listening to the message and hearing the message that we are to forgive others. Our opening hymn is Because He Lives, number 256 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Lord, we gather this day in gratitude of Jesus Christ, that he loved, healed, and forgave. That is good news that each of us needs to hear again and again. But the news is too good to keep to ourselves. Help us to share this message with others so that they too may have the hope to face the fears and challenges of our tomorrows. Because Christ lives, we can also. Thank you for that promise. We pray this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have a chart going, and we started receiving the World Mission Offering last week. Our goal is 800, and we've received 200, so we're 25% there. We're a quarter of the way there, but we have work to do. So our money will be supporting not only the WHOs, but also men and women and their children who go overseas to support them in their ministry and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with others. So I'd like us to remember the WHOs in our prayers, this month especially, but also our other international missionaries and their ministries, and encouraging you to consider giving to the offering if you have not, but also to remember our missionaries in prayer. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we do pray for the ministry and the mission work of our American Baptist churches, especially overseas. And we do lift up today the WHOs in their ministry, their newly called ministry, and for the youth and college students of Macau, and pray that the WHOs may help to bring Christ to that area. Lord, we just pray that they may have the strength and the wisdom and the spirit to share Christ's love with those who need to receive it that day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to learn about this ministry. We thank you for the World Mission Offering and all that it will support. And we ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. And students and teachers may go to their classes. Come now to that time of our service when we have an opportunity of sharing our celebrations and our concerns with one another and spending a few moments in prayer together. A celebration, Chuck and Cindy Huddy have returned from Hawaii, and it's good to have them back with us. And it's a great celebration. We hope that Mom's doing okay. And so we want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, who remains at home, and Scoutmaster George Burgess. Not sure if he's still hospitalized or not, but want to continue. His health is not very good. Dottie is here alone today, so Mark is at home with a very painful plantar fasciitis. And anybody that has had that knows that that can be very painful, so we want to keep Mark Fox in prayer today. Helen Fleet, we want to continue to keep her in prayer as she's, just waiting for her bone to continue healing at her sister's. You'll notice that Irene Hoffman is not here today again. Irene was feeling a little better this week, but still is not well. And we'll be having another test done later this week, trying to determine exactly what is wrong and what can be done for it. But we want to keep Irene Hoffman. It's been over four weeks now that she's been ill. And also we want to continue to remember Stephanie McCurry-Proskow, who is having a test done this week as follow-up to her cancer surgery earlier in the year. So we want to keep Stephanie in prayer as well. Do you have any concerns or celebrations you'd like to share with the church family? Sharon? Okay, Lisa Jacobson's asking for prayers for Fela Zonshin. Joanne Lambert, I got the last name, couldn't remember the first. Joanne Lambert, who is a member of Zonta, is very, very ill. And we want to keep her, I believe she has cancer. And we want to, you know, keep her and her family in prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request? Peggy. Right, want to keep Peggy's family in prayer. Her nephew died suddenly about 10 days ago, and I know the committal service is this week, so we want to keep your sister and your extended family in prayer. Foxons have a friend at the Museum of Science that is going, friends that are going through a very rough time right now, so I want to keep that person in prayer today, too. Yeah. Okay, Lucienne's hospitalized right now, so I want to keep Lucienne Mondesir in prayer today. Okay, a friend who was involved in a car accident in Cameroon yesterday and has broken legs and broken hips. So we want to keep that friend. It's difficult when we're so far away. We can't be have our physical presence there. So I want to keep that person in prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request? Liz. So Dave and Liz Hart are in the process of adopting their granddaughter, Rihanna. And so just want to pray for that process to go forward. Okay, Betty Hickey's cousin, Lucille, is having surgery this week. And so we want to pray for Lucille as well. Anybody else have a prayer request? Josh is glad to be here, and he said he's had a week of turmoil, so hopefully you'll find some peace today here, and that's good. We're glad that you're able to be here today. And I commented on Josh's new hairstyle and told him, it looked very nice. And you may want to give him some more pluses that way too. Anybody else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something or someone that's been mentioned here now or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Holy, gracious, loving, forgiving, and merciful God, we are thankful to be able to come to this house of worship this day, to worship you, to be a part of this congregation, to spend these few moments in silent and congregational prayer. Lord, for some of us, we may have no one that we feel comfortable sharing our deepest feelings with but you. And we thank you that you are always on call 24/7, 365, that you don't take a vacation, you don't slumber or sleep, that whenever we want to offer praise to you or bring our problems to you or just have somebody to converse with, that you are always available, and we thank you for that. As we come this day, Lord, we lift up those who are ill and pray for healing according to your will in their lives. We pray for those who are in mourning today, missing the love of a loved one, and pray that your spirit of peace and comfort may be with the survivors. Lord, we pray for all the organizations that are raising money this time of year. We pray for those who are participating in them. And we just pray that they may have safe and successful fundraisers. Lord, we pray for those that will be participating in the walk against domestic violence this afternoon, that it may be a time of solidarity to stand against those who cause domestic violence, both men and women. Lord, we pray that we may have peace within our homes. You've created us to be in relationship with one another, and the most intimate relationships we have are often found within our homes. It should be a place of safety and security. Lord, we pray for those homes that do not experience that. We pray for those who are victims. But we also pray for those who are the abusers. We find it hard sometimes, Lord, to say those words, to pray for those who are guilty or suspected. Lord, you have instructed us to pray for everyone. And we do lift them up today. We're mindful, Lord, that our world is full of dangers, whether it's locally, across our nation, or around this world. And the headlines are always seen to be filled with violence and natural disasters. We often question, where and what is our world coming to? Lord, we have those fears and those questions and doubts. We pray to you, O Lord, that you are the great creator. You are the Lord of the universe. And Lord, we pray to you that there may be peace in our world. And if there is some way that we may be used to be a peacemaker or a peacekeeper, help us to do that. Empower us, instruct us, encourage us to seek peaceful ways of settling our differences. For we know that Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. We now offer all of these things to you in his name. Amen. I mentioned earlier about our World Mission Offering, which is one of our four annual mission offerings that we receive. But we also receive an offering every Sunday that includes our special offerings, but also our tithes and our gifts to support the ongoing ministry of this local congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we can speak our praises to you, but we can also sing our praises to you, and we also praise you through these gifts, and we ask that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen. You may be seated. Dave Latta is our lay worship leader today and will be reading the scripture.
Good morning. Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, if my brother keeps sinning against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times?" "No, not seven times," answered Jesus, "but 70 times seven, because the kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a king who decided to check on his servants' accounts. He had just begun to do so when one of them was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. The servant did not have enough to pay his debt, so the king ordered him to be sold as a slave with his wife and children and all that he had, in order to pay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before the king. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay you everything." The king felt sorry for him, so he forgave the debt and let him go. Then the man went out and met one of his fellow servants who owed him a few dollars. He grabbed him and started choking him. "Pay back what you owe me," he said. His fellow servant fell down and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he had him thrown into jail until he should pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were very upset and went to the king and told him everything. So he called the servant in. "You worthless slave," he said, "I forgave you the whole amount you owed me just because you asked me to. You should have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you." The king was very angry, and he sent the servant to jail to be punished until he should pay back the whole amount. And Jesus concluded, "That is how my Father in heaven will treat every one of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray together. Lord, as with so many of Jesus' parables, there are several people involved. And we know whom we would like to believe that we would act like in this parable. But if we're serious with ourselves and honest, we know that perhaps we're like one of the other characters. Lord, we pray that this day that we may have open hearts and minds to receive a word from you that may help us to greater understand this parable of Jesus and his teachings and his expectations for us as his followers in the world today. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Is forgiveness a good thing? I believe I've always thought it to be. It's often not an easy thing to do, but I was taught that it was the correct or the right thing to do. That belief has been disputed this week. I spent time studying and reflecting on what the Bible says on this topic, and especially the words of Jesus. And I decided that it was good to share my insights with you today. In today's scripture, the disciple Peter does not ask Jesus if he has to forgive, but how many times. So the presupposition is that Jesus expected Peter and all of the disciples and followers to forgive others. In fact, earlier in chapter 6 of Matthew's gospel, we find Jesus saying these words, "If you forgive others the wrongs they have done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs you have done." You may have heard or read news accounts about a member of our Cub Scout Pack 603 having money stolen from him while he was selling popcorn during a pack fundraiser at a local store 2 weeks ago. Some of the local television stations and newspapers published the story and even a picture of the suspect in hopes that the public would help identify the person. Within about 24 hours, the suspect was arrested. But the Cub Scout was still upset by the incident. He had trouble sleeping and eating. He was frightened and became physically ill. All of these are normal reactions for a victim of such a crime, especially a 10-year-old. But as the week progressed, and as he learned about the background of the suspect or of the accused, the Cub Scout remembered lessons he had learned from his mother and the Cub Scout program. And he had compassion. The 10-year-old Weeblos forgave the accused. That does not release the accused from the justice system, but it does allow the victim to have control over his own future after such a traumatic event. He recognized the need to let go and to move on, and harboring ill feelings for the accused would have prevented that. He realized if he had held on to those bad feelings, it wasn't going to hurt the perpetrator anymore. It was only going to hurt him. Upon hearing this story, I was proud of the member of our Cub Scout pack. He was practicing what he had been taught. And unfortunately, he will probably need to consider forgiving many others in his lifetime. He was following the Cub Scout promise and law of the pack, where the scout promises to, quote, do his duty to God, to help other people, and to give goodwill, unquote. But this week, we received in the church office two anonymous voice messages and one letter from a person who does not agree with the scout's actions to forgive the perpetrator. Now, since this person neglected to identify themselves, I don't know who this person is, and I cannot respond directly. That person may be sitting here this morning, or you may know this person, or you may agree with this person. But I felt I had to respond to that message however I could, and decided to use it as an illustration for today's message. The messages we received in the office were directed to the 10-year-old Cub Scout. And the person said they did not agree with him forgiving the thief. They don't think forgiving the thief will help the thief or any other potential victims. The person stated that they do not believe the scout is being taught correctly. And quote, there is a right and a wrong, a good and a bad. To let everything go by and say everything is okay, I don't think it is good at all. To forgive thieves in something like this is sending out a real poor message. It's the easy way out. It's a way of not looking at reality and facing your own anger. It's not sending out a strong message. To send out a message, oh, poor thieves, let's forgive them. I think he is wrong. End quote. Anyone who has ever truly forgiven someone knows that it is not easy work. Mohandas Gandhi once said, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. And this person's thinking goes against everything that Jesus taught and modeled during his life here on earth. In our justice-oriented world, we expect that insults are going to be followed by apologies and crimes are going to be followed by punishments. But Jesus turns this system upside down by saying, just forgive. Notice that Jesus does not even expect the sinner to repent or to make amends. Forgive them, orders Jesus, and not just once, and not just seven times, I don't know if the person who disagrees with the Cub Scouts' forgiveness of the thief has any faith or not, but there are some people in this world who do resist and even object to Jesus' type of open-ended approach to forgiveness, saying that this type of forgiveness turns Christians into doormats. It fails to uphold sinners and hold them accountable. It invites abusers to continue their abuse. They may have a point. It's hard to imagine that Jesus wants us to throw justice completely out the window. But still, Jesus says, forgive. He is saying that forgiveness is at the heart of living in God's world. The man who decided to steal the money from this Cub Scout will be facing the court system for some time to come. Right now, he's spending 90 days in a detox unit before further legal proceedings. The Cub Scout is quoted as saying, "I forgive him. He needs help to try not to take drugs and to try and not steal. I'm taught what's best for me and best for everyone else is what you should do." End quote. I don't know if this Cub Scout practices a particular religion, but I know that Jesus would be smiling if he heard those words. The parable of the unforgiving servant reveals the reason we must offer forgiveness to one another. It has nothing to do with the pursuits of justice and everything to do with the character of God. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven may be compared to the king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. So Jesus is saying that we can learn a little something about life in God's kingdom by paying attention to a story about how this king deals with his debtors. First century Judaism taught that one might forgive a neighbor once or twice, and perhaps three times, but four times was beyond the limit. In this morning's scriptures, Jesus counters this notion by removing all limits to forgiveness. In some translations, Jesus tells us to forgive 77 times. In other translations, it's 70 times 7. The exact number matters little because it is a figure of speech. Jesus is saying there should be no limit to forgiveness. Don't try to count the number of times. Do it endlessly, Jesus tells us. And then, as often is the case, Jesus tells the parable with extravagant contrasts to illustrate his teachings. A slave owes his king 10,000 talents. I think the Good News Bible said $1 million. Huge amount of money. Such an astronomical amount of money as to be an inconceivable debt, that this person would never be able to repay that to his master, the king. But amazingly, the king snaps his fingers and forgives the debt completely, no strings attached. That forgiven slave goes out and refuses to forgive a very small debt that a fellow slave owes him. How small? He refuses to forgive a debt that's 500,000 times smaller than the amount he had owed the king. The point Jesus is trying to make is clear. God is forever merciful to us. We should be grateful for that mercy, internalize it, and model it in our behavior toward others. To do less is to dishonor God's forgiveness of us. This parable is really about the kind of lifestyle we will choose for ourselves. Do we know how to live the life that sets us free? Or are we bound to a world of resentment, anger, and bitterness? It appears as if this slave, who had been forgiven much, learned nothing about mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. So often, our selfish hearts are unaware of God's grace that surrounds us. We live in a society in which we like to hold others responsible for things. When an accident occurs, we want to know who to blame. Someone has to pay. That's what we've been taught by society. We begin to interpret life from the point of view of debt. In a world where debt rules, nobody gets away with anything. In a world of debt, blame is the name of the game. In a world of debt, we might expect to hear Jesus cry from the cross, "Someone has to pay for this. Who's responsible for this? You'll get yours. What goes around comes around." We don't hear any of those words from Christ on the cross. Instead, we hear Jesus cry, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And a little later, he promised one of the criminals hanging on the cross beside him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus will not be held in bondage to hatred, jealousy, frustration, and greed. Rather, he chooses a future that is open with us. Endless forgiveness makes no sense in our human way of thinking. But without it, we can never live open-ended lives. Being a follower of Jesus involves daily choices between a way of life that ends in death and an open-ended way of life that goes on through eternity. Do you recall the words we prayed earlier? "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We ask God to forgive us in the same manner that we forgive those who do things to hurt and harm us. It's not easy, but through the grace and love of Jesus Christ, we forgive just as we have been forgiven. The hardest words any of us may ever speak are the words which we ask for and grant forgiveness. But they are the most necessary words. As Jesus instructed, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." May we strive to follow this teaching of our Lord and Savior each and every day of our earthly journey. Let's pray together. Lord, it may sound easy to say, "I forgive you." But when those words are heartfelt, it's not easy. And you know that. On the cross, Jesus could have lashed out. But instead, he had compassion and prayed for forgiveness of those who were killing him. Lord, we pray that we may have that type of forgiveness. That as you have forgiven us, help us to forgive those who injure us, who have debts against us. Lord, help us not to be like that servant that was forgiven such a great debt but turned around and would not forgive a minor debt. Help us to be like Jesus and forgive those whom we encounter who hurt us, who need forgiveness. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is printed on the insert, "Remember Christ our Savior." we read these words from the Apostle Paul. Forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as the Lord has forgiven you. Be as ready to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven you. May we leave this service of worship with the joy of knowing that we are forgiven and the challenge to forgive others. Amen.